your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. I got to get wired up. That song, Abide With Me, if you knew the background of it, it's a tremendous song. And I think it's Scotland. They play that before every football game like we play the national anthem. That's right. Tremendous, tremendous song. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I set before you in life, set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for so many mercies. We thank you that we heard the gospel. We thank you that you moved upon our hearts to receive it. We thank you, Lord, that you watched over us and kept us up to this day. We thank you for this word we have in our hands that can give us light and life and, Lord, guidance. We thank you for our friends and fellowship and family that we've been able to walk through this life. We thank you for this day to come and gather together and to open your word and pray that your Holy Spirit might touch our hearts and change our lives. Lord, help us today. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He said life and death. First thing he talked about. I'm bringing before you life and death. And that's what I want to do. Look, if you will, at a verse in John 14:6. Many of you know it by heart. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Trinidad talked about something I say every once in a while, and I think about life. I noticed another one that was similar to what he said. It said, every day above ground is a good day. That was a marker, you know, out on the outside of a place. And I've always said, you know, about that, I'm on the best side of the grass, you know. But I've thought the other way. I say, every day I wake up is a good day. You understand with me, life is a gift from God. It is a gift from God. And God has given you a day. Why did he give it to you? You're going to make choices in every day that God gives you. And not a day goes by, you don't make choices. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. Some of them help people and some of them hurt people. Some of them help you and some of them hurt you. And every choice we make, no matter what it is, has a consequence. Now, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You don't get any life except through God. And you sure don't get any spiritual life except through Jesus Christ. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Bible declares, and he says it right here, no man cometh to the Father but by me. You say all roads lead to Rome. That may be, but all roads don't lead to heaven. All religions are not equal. All beliefs are not equal. All actions are not equal. There's a difference. You make choices. Now we read about choices every day in the newspaper. We see about choices every day on the news, on the television, and we make choices even to what we wear. way we cut our hair, what part of our body we reveal and what part of it we close up. We make choices about judging other people too. We are making choices day after day. And do you know, if you're going to answer for every idle word that you have spoken, what are you going to do about every choice you made? Every day. I thank God for giving me another day. Maybe I'm supposed to reach somebody today. I praise God for that. Certainly didn't expect it. Wasn't in my expectation. But I not only have life, and to me that is the greatest thing. You cannot enjoy anything else without life. Physical, human life. God let me live this long, and I have enjoyed a wife and children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I've enjoyed preaching around the world. I've enjoyed preaching right here. I've enjoyed my friends and my family and my fellowship. I couldn't have enjoyed any of it if I didn't have life. Life is a great gift. How much greater a gift is eternal life? All the good things about life without the bad. All the good things about life. He said, I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to give you spiritual life. He said, I am the life. Joining a church will not bring life to you. Taking the Lord's Supper or being baptized will not bring life to you. Life comes from a person. He's alive. That's what the apostles went around. That's what got them in so much trouble. People said, these crazy nuts are preaching this Jesus is alive. Yes, that's what they were saying. That's how come they got in so much trouble. Jesus is alive. He rose from the grave in a resurrected body. And that's exactly what I expect to do. I expect to come out of the grave with this same old body. You say, you still want that one? Yeah, I'm sort of attached to it. I like it. I don't care if I get eaten by sharks and then worms and something else. God's going to put it all together. You know what they can do? Even man can see from one little cell of my body how to recreate the absolutely whole body. So you think God's going to have any problem? I don't think He is. Life, eternal life. Do you like life? Well, some of you say, it's hell. No, it's a long ways from hell. Right. You don't know what hell's like. The truth is, if you're saved, this world is the closest you'll get to hell. If you're lost, this is the closest you're going to get to heaven. So when you go griping about this life, you better think about that, because some choices you make are going to determine your eternity. You're going to make the choice. You're going to choose Jesus and life or yourself and death. He said, no man cometh unto the Father. Why? Because none of us are good enough to walk into the presence of an almighty holy God. Not a single one of us in here. The oldest and the sweetest grandmother or the sweetest little girl can't walk into the presence of Almighty God except through Jesus Christ. God sent His Son to pay your debt, and He did it. Not just on the cross of Calvary, but 3 days after also. He went into death, hell, and the grave, and came out of it victorious. He said, I'm alive. And He's alive forevermore. And you know what He said? He said, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the spiritual life. I haven't always made good choices, just like you. But I was about 21 years old in the Air Force in Roswell, New Mexico. And all of a sudden, my sins came before me. I knew I was a sinner. I would have never claimed I wasn't a sinner. I would say I'm not as bad as some. Not as good as some. But all of a sudden, my sin seemed like the worst thing in the world. I felt absolutely lost. I felt there was no way, no hope for me. And I remembered Jesus. And I called upon Him. I repented of my sins. Now, I don't know if it's the way you're supposed to do it, but I thought of everyone I could think of and confessed it. Took me a couple hours. And I'm sure I missed a bunch. But the main thing was, I repented as a sinner, all by myself in a room, no other adults with me, and I called upon God, and He saved me, and I knew it. I knew it. 2 o'clock in the morning, I have been saved. I now belong to Jesus. And I made a conscious decision. I said, Lord, I believe You've been calling me to preach all this time. I'm surrendering to You. I'll do anything You want me to do. I'll preach the gospel the rest of my days. What a change. Wow. New life. Better life. Better than any I'd ever had before. And I had a good time in life. Some people say, oh, I hated high school. I had so much fun in high school. So they say, oh, well, I hated it. Man, I had fun all of my life. I'm still having fun. Aren't you jealous that you don't have my life? It's been a ride, man. I'm telling you, it has been a ride all the way through. And it got better with Jesus. Now, you can't go to God without Jesus Christ. Now, you can try to bypass Him any way you want to, but if you're going to have eternal life, you've got to come to God through Jesus Christ, because nobody else is righteous enough. And the only way you get there is that Jesus established His righteousness and gave it to you. Look over at Romans 6:23. He said life, and He said death. Romans 6 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin. Everybody in this room, including the sweetest little girl, is a sinner. And we know the boys are all sinners. We sometimes think the girls aren't, but that's not true. The wages of sin is death. You ever thought about death? Death is a very interesting topic, and it's mentioned in the Bible, and every one of us is going to go through it. Every one of us has gone through it. When my father died, it really affected Billy. I mean, he got right with God. When he saw this person he loved die, and he realized you're going to go through your life, you're going to do all these things, you're going to get old, and you're going to die. And then what have you been living for? Death is not extinction, as some people think. Death is not extinction. Death is separation. When you're spiritually dead, you are separated from the life of God. So you may be very much alive in your body. You may be having a great time. You may be very successful, but you are spiritually dead. Physically alive, spiritually dead. Separation. You're separated from the life of God. When you die physically, I've been at the bedside of quite a few people dying physically, including my own father. One minute he's standing there and say, keep on preaching Jesus, Lindell. I walk outside and say hi to my mother, tell her about it, walk back in, he's gone. But his body was still there. What was gone? His life was gone. That spirit, that soul within him that could respond to me and that I could love and he loved me. His spirit separated from his body, and that meant he was dead. And let me tell you something about death. It's got three stages. Eternal death. Death forever. That's not extinction. That's not ceasing to exist. That's not ceasing to feel. It doesn't mean all your troubles are over. It's separation from the life of God in a place called hell forever. You say, well, that's medieval thinking. No, it's Bible thinking. It's Bible truth. Now, if you don't believe the Bible, you probably won't believe anything I say. That's all right. I believe the Bible. When you die outside of Christ, you die spiritually dead and you stay that way forever. Existing in spiritual death. I don't know anybody that likes funerals. I don't. I've preached a bunch of them. I really don't like them. If you were to call on these other guys to preach your funeral, I'd be happy. You will not hurt my feelings. Preach my mother's and my dad's and my in-laws and a whole lot of others. And I really don't like weddings and I don't like funerals. You see, this is my dress-up. I really don't like it to put on a suit and a tie and be very watchful of the words I say, you know. I'm just not that type of a formal person. So if I've got to do something like that, man, you think I get scared after doing this for 50-something years? Oh, Lord, don't let me say the wrong thing. Oh, Lord, watch my stupid mouth. Oh, Lord. I'm doing a lot of praying when I'm doing things like this. Death's no fun. Death is not the answer to your problems. Death is an enemy. I admit the Christian goes through that doorway into the presence of God, and that is rejoicing. Paul said to be with Christ is far better. But death stops every bit of your opportunity to enjoy this life. It stops every bit of your opportunity to gain things for God in this life. Stops every bit of your opportunity to gain anything for yourself in this life. And it's going to leave a hole in a lot of other people. If you have a big family, it's going to leave a big hole. If you have a little family, it's going to leave a hole. There's going to be hurt and sorrow and pain. I don't like this. I've set before you life and death. There's life in Christ, and there's death without Him. You know, he said something else in that chapter Moses did. He talked about blessing and cursing. Look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103. I'll read the first five verses. You pray for my voice. It hadn't been doing too good for a while. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Wow. You ever get to feeling sorry for yourself? Some people do. A lot of people more often than they should. You've heard the old song, count your many blessings. Bless your heart. If you'd count the blessings God's given you, you'd never have a down day. You count the blessings God's given you, you don't have the mind to understand all the blessings that God has given you. But just look at what is here. He said, forget not all His benefits, forgiveth. Oh, one of the greatest things God ever did for me was forgive my sins. I had a load of sins to be forgiven, but God forgave me all my sins. And He not only forgave me my past sins, He forgave me my present sins and my future sins and seated me in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. Amen. He buried Him in the depths of the sea to be remembered again no more. And sometimes I have certain sins and I go back and I say, God, You remember? He said, no, I don't remember. You're forgiven. He's removed them. He's forgotten them. I can't forget them, but He's forgotten them. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. How about healeth thy diseases? By a lot of people's standard, I shouldn't be standing here. In fact, I fully expected to die by the time I was 60. I was blinded by diabetes at 50. And my diabetes was very bad, very high, and my sister and I both, my parents didn't have diabetes, my sister and I both had it. She died with one leg cut off and the other one black. She was blind. She couldn't walk, get out of the bed. She spent the last 3 years in a nursing home. I've already outlived her, and I haven't been in a nursing home yet. That's the grace of God. It's not that I take care of myself so well. Can you tell? This is my biggest muscle. I've put more exercise into this one than any other I've got on my body. I'm a strong fella. I don't eat right. I don't exercise right. I don't do a lot of things right. I don't like greens. If it's greens, bring it to Brian. He loves them. I like steak and potatoes and fried chicken and all that's supposed to die from. I'm 75. I'm still here. Guys that came to this church that jog 5 miles every day die in their 40s. What are you going to say about something like that? He forgiveth all your iniquities and He healeth all your diseases. Well, I don't say that He's healed me completely, but He sure kept me going. I'm still seeing with both eyes. I was blinded at 50. I'm still walking on both feet. I'm still driving my car. Praise the Lord. Not other people aren't praising the Lord for that probably, but I'm praising the Lord for it. I like my car. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. I don't know how many times. Probably many more times than I can probably imagine. I have been in some situations, I just said, this is it. I'm in a revival meeting preaching over in East Texas. Man 70 years old sitting across the table from me. I told him he needed to get saved, and he pulled out a loaded 38, pointed it right at my face. He said, I'm going to blow your guts to hell. I said, first of all, you're not pointing at my guts, and second thing, I'm not going to hell. At the moment, I didn't have any fear. That night in the bed, I trembled about half the night. I was that close to not kissing Verlene again. I was that close to not hugging my boys and my girls again. I was that close. I was driving to preach. West Texas, out of Fort Worth. I was in the seminary in Fort Worth, and I was driving out to a church I was pastoring out in West Texas, and we hit us a bad snowstorm. I had two little boys in the back seat of the car. And I'm driving in the snow, probably about 70. Maybe 60. I'm not sure. But there was a long bridge with the cement pillars coming up on each side, blocking the whole thing all the way. Double lane. And when I hit that, I hit ice. It was long. I mean, it was longer than this building. And my car started going out of control. There was no control. And it started going right across the bridge. And Verlene and I, we talked about it later, we both said, this is it. Man, we're going to hit that edge of that bridge right there and tear something up. I missed it by about an inch or two. Went over the embankment, down into the drifts of snow, and I'm thinking, I'm thanking the Lord first. The Lord watched over me. He watched over my little boys. He watched over my wife. And I get out of that car and I think, how in the world am I? It's the Sunday morning. How am I going to get out of here? A gravel truck come back up and said, hey, you need a lift? Yeah, okay. And he just put his chain out and hauled me up. I made it for church. I got caught in an undertow in the Pacific Ocean with 18 boys. And when I was going back in, I got them different ones out. I won't tell you the long story. But the oldest one, the one I had with me to help me take care of the younger ones, says, help, Brother Kincaid. And my legs are just trembling. I'm so exhausted. I've been swimming against that tide and bringing boys in. And I said, well, I'm going after him. We both got out. You know what he says right here? Redeemeth thy life from destruction. You don't realize how many times things happen that God took away from you, protected you, and you never knew it. Countless times, no doubt. Diseases came your way. Germs came your way. Terrible people came your way. I have a preacher friend. He was in the army in Germany. He was coming across a bridge, and a gang met him, and they threatened to kill him. And he said, "Lord, I guess this is it." He began to witness the gospel to them, and they all left. He started preaching to them. "They're going to kill him. They're going to beat him up. They're going to, you know." He said, "Boy, you guys need the gospel. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need your sins forgiven." And he said, "They just melted away." Redeemeth thy life from destruction. Is that a blessing? Amen. Is that a blessing you've ever had? Oh, I've had it. I've had it. Bless your heart. I've had it. I've had friends of mine die. I was called on a gas run. I took care of gasolines and fuels and fuel planes and everything in the service. I was called on a gas run. It was my run. It was at the end of the day, and I had an appointment with a doctor. And I told the dispatcher, "I've got this appointment." He said, "Okay, Bobby Harris, take the 74 truck and go to Ground Power." "Okay, go ahead, Kincaid." Bobby Harris took my truck, went out to fill up a tank. It blew up and threw him 30 feet. Took his eyelids off, took his ears off. He died 11 days later right here in Brooks. That's when I learned a 21-year-old can die. I hope Bobby Harris was saved. I wasn't at the time. I hope he was saved. I think about that every once in a while. Maybe he was. He come from Tennessee. Redeemeth thy life from destruction. How many times has God saved you? How many times have you been in a place where if God would have left you alone, but behind the scenes He didn't leave you alone? And maybe even in your sight He brought somebody that brought deliverance to you. Are you blessed? If God has been redeeming your life from destruction, you're blessed. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's what my life's been like ever since I've been saved. In fact, I can say my whole life, God gave me a good mother and a good father. They were poor. They were country folks. They didn't either one have a high school diploma. I never was embarrassed to take anybody to my house. I had some friends. Didn't want you to see their house. Didn't want you to meet their folks. And my mama was good looking. Those teenage boys would say, "Wow, I had to watch out." And I, "Hey, watch out, you're less than that to my mother." Loving kindness. Loving kindness. Tender mercies. I'm born in America. I'm born to Christian parents. I'm born in Texas. I'm born where there's a Bible around every corner where you can buy it for a dollar at a grocery store. I'm born where there are nuts out there preaching, but there are a lot of wise men out there preaching too. I'm in a place where the gospel's preached. I'm in a place where people came by and witnessed to me. I'm not like some people who never had anybody tell them the story of the gospel. Over and over and over again in my life, I was witness to. Sunday school teachers. People, just friends. While I was in the military out there, two civilian workers that worked with me witnessed to me all the time. And I would laugh and tell them a dirty joke, and they'd say, "Oh, no," and run off. And I had fun. I told you I had fun just about everything I ever did. And then when I got saved, they came and they said, "Boy, we're so glad to hear that you got saved." And I said, "Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah." It's a wonderful thing to get saved. Loving kindness. God's put up with my smart mouth. God's put up with my stupid pride. God has put up with my sin and still blessed me. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? Satisfy thy mouth with good things. I like good things. A lot of that food I don't like. But I like good things. And you know what? God's given me a lot of good things. Have you? You got a palate? You got taste buds? You got any food you really like? Do you ever go get donuts or cake or ice cream or pizza or steak? How come you can enjoy that? God lets you enjoy it. You know there are people sitting around you that don't enjoy it? Can't enjoy it. There's some people who'd love to be able to eat something like that and can't do it right now. What about blessings? Thy youth is renewed like the eagles. God has renewed my youth several times. I'm afraid he's getting past time for it to renew it anymore, but what a blessing. Are you blessed? Would you like to be blessed? Then seek the Lord and choose life. There's another verse, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth in all things which are written in the law, book of the law, to do them. You realize what that said? You said, I'm on my own. I'm going to meet God on my own. I'm going to live my perfect life, and God's going to weigh me against others. Cursed. Why? You didn't complete the whole law. You might have never committed adultery, but you probably lusted. You might never have stolen, but you probably coveted. And not any of us in here that's kept that law. Religions out here teaching good little boys go to heaven and bad little boys go to hell. It's a lie. Everybody needs a Savior. If you live under that law, you're cursed. Every time right now, at 75 years old, I've been reading that book 50 some odd years, regularly, preaching it regularly. And when I go to the Ten Commandments, I feel guilty. Maybe you don't. I feel guilty. When Jesus just lops them down to two. Love the Lord God with all thy might, heart, soul, strength. You do that? I don't do that. You know what that does to me? That makes me guilty. I think how little I love the Lord, how poor of a servant I am, how poor of a preacher I am, how poor of a witness I am, how poor of a father and a husband that I am. Love the Lord thy God. How about love your neighbor as yourself? I bought myself many new cars. I never bought my neighbor one. I bought myself a nice gun. Oh, it's nice. If you like guns, you'd love it. I never bought my neighbor one. You love your neighbors yourself? All you got to do is read that, and you're guilty. I stand guilty. I'm cursed by the law. That's what the law is supposed to do, by the way. It's supposed to bring you the knowledge of sin and the knowledge that you're cursed. Blessing and cursing. Another thing he said, choose. Choose life. Now, as believers, turn to chapter 12 of Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. As a believer, you're already born again. You've already accepted Christ. You've already chosen Christ as your Savior, as your payment for your sin, as your hope of eternal life. There's still some choices to be made. What he says to you believers, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, Romans 12:1, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Christian, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, God commanded many dead sacrifices. Sacrifices came up. That bull that's going to be sacrificial bull is going to kill it. That lamb, that pretty little lamb, best you got, going to get killed. Sacrifices of death, sacrifices of blood. You know what God wants out of you in the New Testament today? He wants your body and your life. He wants you to live for Him. He wants to be able to walk in you and talk in you and touch other people. Present your body a living sacrifice unto God because of His mercy. Wow. You got a choice to make. You make them every day. You choose whether you'll witness or not. You'll choose where you'll stand for truth or not. You choose whether you can stand against the modes and the popularity of the day. You choose the way you'll dress. You ladies, you choose how much of your breast you'll show. How much of your legs you'll show. Men, you sit in your stupid pride. God will like a little humility. Oh, we're wicked. Even as Christians, we're failures. The very best of us in here, we're failures in presenting our body as a living sacrifice. Go back to Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Only verse 29. Deuteronomy 32:29. Listen to what God is saying about His people. Oh, that they were wise. That they understood this. That they would consider their latter end. I'm going to read that again. Oh, that they were wise. That they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. You know what the problem is? A lot of us don't take a look down the road. It's one of the problems with teenagers. They've got the body of an adult, they've got a mind that's sharp as a tack, sharp as it'll ever be in their life, but they don't consider consequences. But they're not the only ones. The rest of us need to fit into that. What are the consequences of driving recklessly? What are the consequences of riding a motorcycle? What are the consequences of drinking? What are the consequences of dope? What are the consequences of premarital sex? What are the consequences? Can you look down the line? He said, oh, that they were wise. If you're wise, you'll take a look down the road. One of the blessings of my father was, He drove me nuts talking to me. And you know what he told me about my kids? Just keep talking to them. Just keep on telling them. Keep on talking to them. He would set me down and say, okay, if you do this, what will probably be the result? Reasonable. He was reasonable. Well, if you do this, what will be the result? And he lists them out like that. That's painful. When you're a teenager, that's absolutely painful. After he was gone, I sure wished I could go back and listen to him. How about taking a long look? Not just my lust for today. Not just my approval for today. Not just my friends for today. Not just my job for today. Take a long look. Look down the line and say, where will this lead me? Your choice. God's not going to make it for you. Sometimes He won't even help you. He leaves you absolutely. absolutely on your own. You make your choice. And by the way, you'll sleep in that bed. Choose your bed, you're going to sleep in it. God, when He forgives your sin, does not remove all the consequences. If before I get saved, I get drunk in a car wreck and my left arm's cut off right out the window out there. I get saved after it, He doesn't restore that arm. You don't get out of all the consequences of the choices that you make. You make choices, and everybody in this room right now is living with the result of your choices. Not a person here that isn't. I don't care if you're young. I don't care if you're as old as me or older. That's almost impossible, but I understand it is. Oh, that they were wise. It would be a wise thing to think about the latter end. That's what God says. It'd be a wise thing to think about the latter end. Look at the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 29. Proverbs 1:29, "For that they hated knowledge, did not choose the fear of the Lord." Boy, that fits a lot of people I know. I've met some of these. They don't care about truth. They're not worried about knowledge. They don't have that attitude, buy the truth and sell it not. They let things get in their way. "They would none of my counsel. They despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way." Hated knowledge. Hated knowledge. Did not choose. I've done a lot of visiting life. I don't do much now. But I did a lot in my life. I knocked on many a door. Let people come to the door. And I would give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they would laugh, and they would mock, and they would ignore, they'd slam the door, they did a lot of different things. And I would walk away thinking, you don't know what you've just turned down. You don't know how foolish it was. Just because you didn't like my looks, or you didn't want to be bothered, or you didn't think anybody should touch your door, you don't know what you've done. Hated knowledge. They have none of my reproof. Well, back to the verse that I started with. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life." That's what I want to tell you. That's my invitation. I have explained life and death. I have explained blessing and cursing. Choose life. Amen. If you're here and you're not saved, I want you to understand, when you go up to meet God, God's going to say, "Why didn't you listen in that service you were in? December 2011. That was my book. I gave you warning, choose life." If you're a Christian, I want you to know, if God has wants some other things out of you than what you're giving Him, God wants more than what you're giving Him, God has moved upon your heart in certain areas of things you should stop doing now, and you ignore it, that's your choice. But you're going to meet God and answer for your choices. I would advise you to choose life. Choose life, choose the Word of God, choose repentance, choose life. Choose God. I want God to be the Lord of my life. I will obey God no matter what it costs me. I'm going to eternity with God. I choose God. Make a difference in your life. Let's stand and sing number 249. This altar is open if God has spoken to your heart. there's something you need to do to get right with God, if there's something you want to pray about, somebody you want to pray about, this altar's open during this invitation.